Last week, Cape Town hosted the Global Trade Review Africa for 2019. The summit comes at a time when uncertainty remains as to whether the US and China will come to a lasting amicable solution around trade. It comes at a time when the UK is seeking a bit more time to see how to extricate itself of EU membership without massive self-damage, or whether the whole withdrawal proposition should be tested among the British people again via another referendum. Regardless of the outcomes here, which will indeed have some global impacts, what does the trade picture look like for the African continent? Well, to share his thoughts on this issue, I'm joined on the line by Vinod Madhavan. He's head of trade for the Standard Bank Group. Vinod, what are the key themes that were preoccupying the African Global Trade Review this year?
The key themes continue to be, how do we realize more revenue growth? And by revenue growth, I mean both corporates and financial institutions. And also, how do we continue to pursue growth both from a nation's point of view, but also as far as economy. So that's theme number one. The theme number two would be, for that to realize, trade corridors are a key theme. And there was a lot of attention and focus on the Africa-China trade corridor, and more importantly, the intra-Africa trade,
yes,
growth of intra-Africa trade. And the third theme was on digitization. This is about how can we actually, simplistically put, a letter of credit, which is a way of doing trade, has broadly remained unchanged for the last 400 years. It may have moved from pieces of paper to telex to Swift, but kind of nothing much has changed from its core financial, shall I say, tenets. What we see now with the advent of disruptive technologies such as blockchain, such as machine learning, there are ways we can increase the operational efficiency of trade. And that's something that the industry was talking about, that all of us were talking about.
Right. So whether speaking in the BRICS or United Nations fora, South Africa's message around partnership and multilateralism has been a very consistent one, especially given a backdrop where certain key developed economies appear to be focused on their national projects or economies, seemingly at the expense of maintaining good multilateral relations with others. What does this then do for the propensity for less trade, which would be negative, particularly for the African continent?
So you're spot on. There is this kind of worrying trend that we have seen being played out over the last, I would say, two odd years, where some of the more traditional, shall I say, proponents of global trade have been kind of started looking inwardly, started looking internally. And it is a matter of concern as far as global trade is concerned. However, and on this one, I would say kind of fortuitously, some of these trends actually could turn out to be positive for us in Africa. And the primary reason is because, let's say, the U.S.-China trade issues that we see kind of playing out, and in my opinion, it will get resolved in the future. But let's say it does not get resolved. Then what will happen is that actually it creates opportunities for markets in Africa. It creates opportunities for more trade between, let's say, China and Africa, or other markets in Asia and Africa, or even for that matter, Brazil and Africa. So in a very strange way, as these trends keep playing out, what we need to do is we need to kind of look out for opportunities and leverage those opportunities.
Are we opportunistic enough, though? That's the issue.
I would say that kind of it's a case of, shall I say, a glass half empty or half full. Okay. In my opinion, kind of some of our private enterprise, some of the countries on the continent are actually being opportunistic in their leveraging, but we can do so much more, and we can certainly kind of work together, work with, shall I say, other financial institutions to do more trade. And frankly, kind of, it would be remiss of me not to mention, more trade actually means more availability of trade finance, which then means more financing, trade financing for SMEs, which then means more employment.
Yes.
And to my mind, that's a beautiful, shall I say, causality which we have to leverage. Am I making sense?
Yes, you are, absolutely. So just tell us, what's the outlook for commodities, which many African countries do export? But of course, you know, there are worries about China, you know, what with its growth prospects coming down, and it is a key importer of commodities. So based on that, what are people saying about what the commodities picture looks like going forward, and should Africa still continue to benefit?
So my way to think of this is that, let's say we talk about China and the slowing kind of component of China, right? The slowing is still, let's say, 5 to 6%. And 5 to 6% of the second largest economy, that still means a lot of growth. Okay? And more importantly, what China has realized is that they need to change the sentiment. So what used to happen in the past is, everybody in the world used to say China exports. They are the manufacturing hub and they export. They have realized they need to change this, and they did that around 2 years back. So last year they had the inaugural Chinese International Import Expo, which was a week in Shanghai, where all they were looking to do is get people and manufacturers to come into Shanghai and sell to Chinese corporates and retail players. This year in June in Hunan, there is a very specific China-Africa expo for trade and investments being held as an offshoot of FOCAC that happened last year.
Yes.
And again, the focus is how can we grow trade between China and Africa. So my take is, yes, China is slowing down. However, the slowing, it is still growing, both in kind of percentage terms, as more importantly in absolute terms, at a fascinating rate, which we need to continue to leverage.
The Africa Continental Free Trade Agreement has been signed by a number of African countries, which lays a positive foundation for a much-needed improvement in intra-African trade, which you've already spoken to. But what steps need to be taken for us to begin to see a material acceleration in the pace of trade among African countries? And presumably, in order for this to have speed, there'll need to be the necessary political will across the continent.
So thanks for that question. I mean, this is particularly kind of close to us and to me kind of specifically, right? So the very first thing is that it's the first time, while globally people are moving away from, shall I say, multilateralism / kind of getting multiple countries coming together, we have taken a step in the right direction. So yes, 44 countries have signed up, 8 have ratified. We in South Africa have agreed to kind of ratify the agreement. I think it was done late February. And there are at least 13 or 14 other nations who are in the process. We need to reach 22 countries as the, shall I say, 50% of the countries, if they ratify, then we go live.
Right.
So the very first step is the fact that kind of there's an expectation among all the nations who ratify that on certain tariffs, we will reduce it by 90%. So effectively, what we're doing is we are reducing barriers to trade amongst ourselves. Now, the second macro trend we need to kind of overlay with the Africa Continental Free Trade Agreement is the fact that there's a very conscious effort from all our nations to increase the connectedness amongst ourselves. So be it in terms of airlines, be it in terms of kind of infrastructure as far as roadways are concerned or railways are concerned. And that's something we need to continue doing this, right? And to this, if we actually are able to pursue the African Union's vision of having an AU passport in addition to our national passport, would then mean kind of movement, free movement, not necessarily free movement for employment, but certainly movement for doing business.
Yes.
I feel we have the ingredients for really more than doubling intra-Africa trade. As we stand now, the estimates of intra-Africa trade are anywhere between 15% and 17%. In other words, our nations, we do more trade externally. Kind of outside Africa, the trade is almost 85 to 87%. So even if we double that, kind of we would take it to 30%, right?
Yes.
It is still much lower than where other regions are in the world. So we have a huge headroom for growth, and I think we would understand each other more. In fact, if a buyer and a supplier are doing trade intra-Africa, in my opinion, we will do more trade with each other. right? So,
yes.
So that's what I would say. Does that make does it add some more information?
It definitely adds value. And just lastly, and very quickly, Vinod, just take us through a few of the countries that you think are ripe for investment currently.
I would say that, you know, speaking from our footprint, we would say kind of South Africa is there, Nigeria is there, Ghana, Uganda, Kenya, Mozambique, and I would say kind of one should even look at Angola. When I say even, what I mean by that is people think about Angola as a market where there's FX liquidity situation and so on and so forth, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we feel from a trade point of view, it is all set ready for investments. It would be wrong on my part if I didn't speak of Ethiopia. I think Ethiopia is again a key market. The growth potential is always clear. Increasingly, our observation is that in the medium term, the FX liquidity situation we find in Ethiopia will improve, which means that kind of corporates and banks should look at doing more business there.
Yeah, no, I have heard a number of companies talk about Ethiopia. Looks like they're looking quite attractive. Thanks very much, Vinod. That was Vinod Madhavan. He's head of trade for the Standard Bank Group.